The text for this morning's thoughts is a story of a one-on-one encounter between Jesus and one of his disciples, which is among my very favorite stories in the entire New Testament. But it follows immediately after the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The message, of course, there being, with just a tiny bit of resource, unimaginable resources can come, and the scope of God's blessings can come from even the smallest of places, like 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then immediately following comes this story. He made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat marveled and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's one of my favorite stories because it's the story of a human being, very much like the rest of us, caught in the act of being most human. It's doing an extraordinary thing. Peter's devotion to Jesus is obvious and unquestioned. Everybody else is afraid. Jesus says, "Wait a minute, it's me. Just relax." And Peter says, "I want to come out there. Let me come to you. I can't wait to get to see you." Jesus says, "Okay." It's like a parlor trick almost. "Give it a try. See what you can do." And he does. Does the impossible. Starts walking on the water. You know, we always hear of Jesus walking on the water, but Peter does too. Until he realizes that this has never been done before by people like him, and he looks down, he feels the wind, and he gets scared, and then into the drink he goes. Jesus has to fish him up. What's interesting to me is that the only thing that changes in the moment that Peter goes from walking on the water to nearly drowning in that instant, the only thing that changes in that story is Peter's perception of what's going on. The wind hasn't changed, Jesus hasn't changed, the water hasn't changed. It's only Peter's view and perception of his reality. It's one of the first things I teach my students in sociology. It comes from a quote from a social psychologist who taught at the University of Chicago in the 30s, that what we perceive as real becomes real in its consequences, that our perception of the world around us is the only reality we have. And we see things differently. We see the same thing differently at different times and places. Different people see the same thing and interpret it differently. In fact, the objective reality of wood and building and lights and grass and trees only have meaning because we give meaning to it. The 2 pieces of wood behind me, shaped in the form of a cross, are, I suppose, to a Martian, 2 pieces of wood. But they become for us a symbol that is central to our faith because of how it's shaped. Our perception of it shapes its meaning and shapes what we do as a result. It seems almost overly obvious. It's kind of interesting to me to pay attention to Wall Street, among other things. It's the earnings reporting season, and companies are reporting their 1st quarter profits. And the value of the stock associated with a company that's reporting earnings has almost nothing to do with whether or not they made a profit or a loss, except insofar that that profit or loss was in line with or exceeds, you ready for this, analysts' expectations. A company can report a substantial profit, but if it's not as much as the analysts perceived it to be, the stock hits the toilet. It's all about perception. And the American economy, and to a large extent the worldwide economy, is rooted in the reality that reality is only what we perceive it to be. So we have some choices about that. Extraordinarily powerful social psychology. So also the individual mind works this way too. Think of a woman I knew in the first church I served named Mabel. Mabel was one of these hard-to-like people, deeply wounded by mental illness, really. And a lot of the people in the church used to be able to feel good about themselves if they could be nice to Mabel, because it was not easy to be nice to this woman. And I remember visiting her in her home, which was, you know, something of a disaster, really. She lived in public housing and wasn't able to much take care of it and was inches away from either being committed or put into a place where she would be cared for 24/7. But during this visit, with the TV on, very loud, to a televangelist that was pretty annoying, really. That was embarrassing. On the subject of media that are really annoying, you know what's worse? Is this is going on the website. The sermon is being recorded. And, you know, it'll be on the World Wide Web. Where was I? I'd rather talk about Mabel, the unpleasant person, rather than my own foibles and failings. And that may have been, because it said no name. It could have been anybody. She told me, sotto voce, that Dorothy had given her poison. Now, Dorothy was one of the sweetest women in the church. And even though a lot of the people would have liked to have given Mabel poison at some point, Dorothy never would have. Now, Mabel is crazy, and I know this. So my instinct is to say, Mabel, you're crazy. Dorothy would never do this. At which point, Mabel would become very frightened because she'd think that I was in on it. So my response to her, after having been schooled on how to respond to elderly delusional people, was to not challenge the delusion. That's the way you do this. And I had to learn this from people who are experts in the field. So I said, Mabel, Dorothy poisoned you. That must have been terribly frightening. I bet you didn't expect that. No, she said. She'd never done that before. And so the conversation went. Now, what Dorothy had probably done was bring her the tuna casserole I saw on the kitchen counter that had been there 3 or 4 days. So there's, in a sense, some logic to where she's coming from. But it's completely delusional, and all I could do to avoid becoming part of the problem was to acknowledge what she perceived. That's the point. Her perception was her reality, and the only way to cope with it is to acknowledge that that's true for her and to try to enter into that world and at least give her some comfort among the fear. Well, the point of all this is that we have powerful abilities to perceive and to even change the way we look at something and move through it as a result. Peter's walking on the water. His eye is on the prize. He sees Jesus' outstretched arm. Jesus calls to him and he comes. And he only gets into trouble when he looks down and sees the water and feels the wind and perceives the situation differently. This is no longer a situation where I am heading toward the Lord of love who will give me safe passage. It becomes, I'm about to drown. And all he's done is change his perception. Here's the point. The next time you're in the soup, the next time you're in the middle of a storm, the next time the wind is blowing hard and the waves are beating you down, look for the outstretched arm of the one who loves you, who has promised to guide you safely through. And don't look down. You can change where you look when you're in the midst of the storm. And what you'll see is perhaps not a white-robed Lord reaching to pull you toward him, but you might in fact hear the laugh of a child or smell a rosebud. Or get a phone call from a friend. or make a phone call to a friend. The point is, Jesus says, do not lose heart. I am here. In the midst of the storm, you get to choose what you perceive. And the promise that comes from our faith is that wherever we are, whatever we are experiencing, Jesus has not only been there, but is there still, and is standing before you, perhaps standing next to you, maybe holding you up or pushing you forward. Do you not perceive it? You can change what you see. You can learn to reinterpret what you experience. Just don't look down. Feel instead. Hear the words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. And may you find the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and may it keep our hearts and minds and our families and communities safe and strong. Amen.